Hello, please note that this interview contains discussions of mental health, suicide, and other sensitive topics that some may find upsetting. Hi Sean, it's so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. Can you tell us a little bit about how Andy's Man Club started?
Doing stuff like events and today was a partnership, sort of bringing people together to know what it's all about. So yeah. With loads of different stuff. So yeah, it's everything from standing in Asda's to... shouting about it to doing big corporate events sometimes. So
yeah.
Today was a simple one, but it was nice. It was just doing a couple of business bits and bobs. So
I've seen some of the stuff you've done with what they originally did with Sky when it was sort of started kicking it. That's fantastic. Yeah. Such a massive platform.
It's always a bonus when we get people like that because it reaches more than what we could ever do. Sometimes it's, especially in the beginning, we had 6 followers. Yeah, you know, it took off from there.
I've watched that clip and just how small it was. They were going, we're hoping for just a few people and for that many people to then show up.
Originally it was 9 guys. So, yeah. It was Andy, Andy's mum and Luke who came together to literally put a coffee club on. And it was called the Andy Roberts Coffee Club, which no one will ever heard of because Elaine hated the name, so she changed it. But the pure intention of it was to try and just... reach out to a couple of lads in the local area that might know Andy, you know what I mean? Let's get some stuff off the chest. Maybe talk about Andy, you never know. But they just stuck it on Facebook as like literally a tiny little community group, Coffee Morning. That was it. It was never expected to be anything that it was. But 9 guys walked through the door and then it sort of went from there, really. It was 9 strangers and then week on week it just grew and grew and grew through really these lads doing it themselves. You know, but there was no sort of promotional push. It was they were breaking the stigma themselves by going out and saying, hey, look, I've been to this club, it's all right, it's good, you know, this is what it's about. It's not, you know, it's not like Fight Club, you're not going to be hugging people and crying on them and stuff. It's actually pretty normal and real. It's not a weird cult. Yeah. So,
how important is that to break the stigma? Because I've struggled a lot with my mental health in the past, and I think the biggest barrier is admitting that you need to go somewhere. So how big is Andy's Mental Health Club to be able to allow men to feel as if they're safe to go somewhere and take that first sort of step?
It's the biggest be all and end all, really, and it's breaking the stigma. And I know there's so many aspects of it that there's no one key thing that you can just do to try and eliminate it. And it's almost reinventing the wheel. It's changing the attitude of not just individuals but the nation, businesses, policies, procedures, etc. Because we are still so in the dark ages when it comes to dealing with stuff like this as a nation and as, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Within a lot of organisations. So, yeah, breaking that stigma is massive, but it's a really difficult task. But I think the most successful way people have done it is leading by example. You know, it takes one person to stand out from the crowd and go, actually, do you know what? You know, I've suffered and it was rubbish, but I reached out and I talked to someone. That might get 2 more people. Yeah. And then those 2 people shout about it and then it just escalates from there. So... it's very much, it's especially with blokes. You know, if one guy touches the electric fence, all of them are going to do it, aren't they? We're daft. So
that's a really not a happy way of putting it, really.
Yeah.
When you think about it,
it's we'll all try something if someone says it's good. So same with Andy's Man Club. One guy goes, says it's good, and the rest go, yeah, that's all right. Let's give it a go, kind of thing. And that does break the stigma. That. Having all these different people come together and shout about it and say, yeah, this is something that we do, is the most powerful thing, because then people can say, oh, actually, it's not a specific demographic. It's not just these types of people. You know, I'll be honest, most people, when they think of a mental health support group, think of guys who might be going through the worst time in their life, you know, drug rehab, whatever, or criminals and stuff, and they're all sat there in a corner shaking back and forth. And it's like, actually, no, these are your paramedics and your posters and your football players and your... you know, just normal guys, you know, the people that are building your houses I'm getting out of there. But yeah, it's just anything that we can do to break that stigma and the lads do it themselves.
Mm. Yeah, taking that step for yourself. When you're sort of in the Man Club, is it just talking? Like, I know you sometimes see some of the socials and like promoting events, like you mentioned already, but what sort of can you do? What is that sort of process that you go through?
So one thing that we found that has been why I think we've been so successful as a peer-to-peer support group is it's run by normal lads for lads. It's not run by sort of professionals, etc., or anyone clinical. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Obviously, there's an avenue for that kind of thing in the right time and the right place. But doesn't suit everybody. So to be, it's so much easier to sit with someone who's already said that, hey, you know, I'm taking medication and it's affecting, you know, Mr. Happy downstairs. Someone else is, you know, it's easier for you to then open up about that same thing. And so within that session, all we simply do is just give the guys a platform to be able to talk. You know, we pass a ball around, we ask five questions, which are dead simple. They're not sort of mental health related, but they're there to just start that conversation. And the lads will just go with it from there, you know. And it's simple stuff like, how's your week been? You know, and one guy can be, yeah, it's all right, it's been all right, I've had a good week. One guy can be, do you know what, it's been really rough, you know, I'm struggling this week, or it was all right till Wednesday. And there's no real prying, it's just as much as you want to say, as little as you want to say. Whatever you need to get off your chest, basically, to sort of get through that week, you know, plough it off. But it works so differently for so many people, the session.
Yeah,
you know, it's very sort of unique to each person and how they get through it and what their issues are, because we're all complicated creatures.
Yeah, so you've got quite a wide variety of what you see in that. So there's no sort of restriction almost on what someone can be dealing with.
No, there's no sort of requirement. The only requirement, and which some of we bleat on about, is you're a man over the age of 18. And what that does is take away some of the prerequisites and the stigma that we think that, oh, I've got to be on meds, or I've got to be diagnosed with something, or I've got to have, you know, something severely wrong with me, or you know, a really bad breaking point before I get help. And it's like, actually, no, as long as you're a bloke, you know, you can get it off your chest, even if it's just you want to moan about the fact that you haven't been able to get out in the garden, or you know, you're worried about your college, coursework, or you just, it doesn't matter. Whatever your issue is your issue. But yeah, having that sort of variation is massive, because there can be an element of competition sometimes not with depression or anxiety, that's probably the wrong way to say it, but an element of feeling like we have to justify that we're in this position to need help. So it's like when one guy might say, oh, I'm struggling with my wife, the next guy's going to feel like he's got to be worse, he's got to justify that, you know, he's got to be something that's eligible for that help. And it's like, actually, no, your problem can be you've run out of pens, do you know what I mean? And that's stressing you out. Don't matter what it is, it's your rubbish, isn't it? It's whatever's on your head. So yeah, it's massive in that sense.
Yeah, is it important to create like sort of more casual environment? Because if you make it so talking about mental health is that simple, it's just something you can have a chat about with like the people at the club, and then you'll go do it with your friends down at the pub or whatever, and it builds and builds that, it makes it less, obviously it takes away the stigma, makes it more of a natural thing people can start talking about day to day, and then it helps out massively for people.
It builds your confidence.
Yeah,
I think that's the key thing, and the one thing that I took away from Andy's Man Club was having the confidence that saying, hey up lads, I'm having a wobble today, I can't come out and play footy because of this, you know, I felt safer to doing it, because I'd learned in this room at Andy's Man Club that whatever I said, I wasn't going to get judged for. I wasn't going to get someone taking the mick out of me or doing something. It was, you know, it was all from a place of love, so to speak. So I became really confident in myself, you know, and accepting how I felt and what was going on, because, again, that broke down. It is that stigma. I broke down that stigma. I could go up to people and not in the street, you know, I'm not a weirdo. You know, I'm not going to run up to a guy in a bus stop and tell him I'm depressed. But, you know, people like my mum and my kids and stuff, you know, when they were saying, oh, you know, why aren't you doing this? Well, actually, I'm not, because I'm struggling with this element today. And they're like, all right, okay, fair enough. You know, it's confidence is a big thing that I think it builds in a lot of guys, and it gives them a lot of hope as well. So, because you do have a variation. You have guys who are, we always, and I've got to watch my language, but we always say that everyone's going through the same storm.
Yeah.
We all have mental health, whether it's good or bad, the same as we have physical health. There's no one that's invincible to it. You know, everyone, even the king, can have a bad day. Do you know what I mean? So we're all in that storm. It's just some of us have got bigger boats than others. You know, we're either going to go through the storm, in the storm, or we're on the other side of it. And when the lads who are in the storm can see the guys that have come out the other side of it, it gives them a bit of hope. Do you know what I mean? And it's great. And they pick each other up on it as well. So they're like, don't worry, mate, you will get through. It's fine. It's, you know, we know we're in the worst place ever at the minute, but it's going to be good. So, yeah.
Can I ask you about your journey through the Man Club?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So some of your struggles you were facing with before, what was your journey, if you're comfortable talking about it?
Yeah, always. It was, to be fair, mine is just one example of many, because everyone's journey is very, very different with coming to Andy's Man Club. I was in a position where I had pushed everybody away, you know, for various reasons. My depression and anxiety was triggered by phantom pain, which was really bonkers. My mental health never manifested with depression and anxiety. I was fine. I was running around like a nutter most of the time and having fun with everyone. So it manifested itself physically. It's one of us. Manifested itself physically, and that led to me being horrible. It's a bit like having toothache and someone asking you what you're doing in 2 weeks' time. You're like, you don't say polite things back, do you? You sort of like go away, if that makes sense. So yeah, I was in a position where I was struggling with the physical pain. I was pushing people aside. A lot of people were backing off from me because I was horrible, and that did lead into the depression and anxiety and the self-worth and the loneliness and the bits like that. You know, I was a 30-something year old lad that had spent his life surrounded by people, and all of a sudden I had no one. So yeah, it was an horrible place to be, and the end result of that was that it led to having these horrible thoughts like, am I really worth being here? And you know, these things kind of escalate without your controls. You know, you walk into the shop to go get some bread and stupid thoughts come into your head like, don't buy a whole loaf because it's going to outlive you. You know what I mean? No one's going to notice if you're not here anyway. Like, or you best pay your bill because then nobody's going to come knocking when you're dead. You know, it's just horrible things that your brain keeps plumbing at you. So eventually I did try and take my own life. I was lucky. I got sort of stopped, not stopped, but I was pulled out of the car by a police officer and eventually got a bit of help. But one of the side effects of when you do try and take your own life is you become the centre of attention, but not in a really good way. It's kind of a bad way, so to speak. So you know, the police start having to do welfare checks on you quite often. The you know, the local services want to do stuff like get you to engage, try and get you help and stuff, which is obviously they've got to. But then they have to tell you next of kin, which for me was me mum. And I'm not too big a bloke to say I'm a bit of a mummy's boy still, do you know what I mean? She still looks after me. And if she's going to clean my clothes and come round and cook me tea, I'm always going to let her do it. But I love her for it. But yeah, it's so for her to find out that I was in this place and that I was, you know, I tried to take me up, there was a big element of shame. There was a big element of embarrassment and burden that I was putting on her. So the drive to do it was even worse. And it wasn't until one of my friends, funnily enough, called Andy, not the Andy, but it was an Andy, who had a leaflet for one of these clubs, and he's like, hey, look, just go along. You know what I mean? Like, the actual tale is quite funny because he Andy is your typical mate. He's blunt as they come, you know, he's from Grimsby, so he's got no filter whatsoever. Doesn't get mental health. In his head, it's go for a walk, give your head a wobble, you know what I mean? It's irrelevant. But for him, it was like, look, just, you're not allowed to kill yourself tomorrow. You know, I'm off out for a meal with the missus, and the last thing I want you doing is spoiling it. So I'm like, cheers, mate.
Quite black and white.
Yeah, as blunt as it comes. Yeah, there's just no filter for this kid. So, but he was like, look, just check it out, go. And funnily enough, when the nearest club at the time was in Hull, which I don't think he realised, because if he had, he probably wouldn't have sent me there, because it meant I had to go over the Humber Bridge, which for anyone who's in that position is just a massive concrete noose. You know, there's no getting around this kind of thing. And so in my head it was perfect. It was that perfect out, it was that perfect excuse to go and escape from everyone for 4 hours. I had a head start. I could go and, you know, sadly look at going chucking myself off the bridge and nobody was going to come looking for me. I had a way of not hurting anybody by doing it. So my head was telling me it was perfect. So I went to the club, got a lot of stuff off my chest, which I was not expecting to do at all, because I walked into this club with a really bad perception of mental health groups. You know, I thought it was some cult, or I was going to start singing Kumbaya, or I mean, ring bells, and I was just like, this is not for me. But you know, I the ball come round to me, and the question was, how's your week been? And I just absolutely just offloaded everything all at once. I was in tears. I broke down. No idea why. Do you know what I mean? It made no sense to me. But I left that group just feeling just a tiny, tiny bit better. Not massively. It wasn't a cure, but I felt a little bit better. And I kept going back. And the more I went back, the less the pain got. Mm-hmm. So it became addictive, obviously, because I was like, this is all right. It's better than pain meds. And then after about a year of going, I couldn't not do anything else. It was the one thing each week. I was like, do you know what? This is my go-to. It's my maintenance. This is what I do every week now. So it don't matter what happens, I can just hold it back for a few days, go on a Monday, get it off my chest, and we're all gravy. Do you know what I mean? It's all good. So then luckily, I got myself in a really good place, and I wanted to stop lads like me from having to go over the bridge, because it just made no sense to me. It was a no-brainer. So I was like, right, I need to open something my side of the water. And I got in touch with Ollie, and we opened up Andy's Man Club in Grimsby, and it just went from there, really. That was sort of escalated, and then I got approached by Luke and Elaine and said, hey, do you want to work for us? I was like, yeah, definitely. So yeah, so it's like I say, it's just one of many, many different examples of how the lads walk through the door and reasons, but it's a nice one for me anyway.
Yeah, it shows how much you can struggle to then, even you saying you thought they were a bit like a cult, and now you're like, this is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive brotherhood now. You know, I see lads all around the country doing, you know, wearing the AMC gear, and I don't even know these lads, but as soon as I see them, I'm like, all right, mate, how you doing? Because like, you instantly just get it, you know what I mean? And you both know where you've been, or possibly where you've been, and you've just got this sort of understanding of each other, which is great. So yeah, I mean, with the amount of clubs that we've got now, there isn't many places you go where you don't see Andy's Man Club. But
no, the list is phenomenal.
It's great. It's growing all the time, which is great. But yeah, it's just a group of friends that relate to what I'm going through or have been through, and keep me on the straight and narrow, because there's no cure. You know, even though I work for Andy's Man Club, I still go every Monday night for my own reasons to keep on top of things. And the moment you stop talking is the moment that you start bottling it back up again. So it's important to keep it going.
Yeah, I think I went through somewhat of a similar journey myself, and the student mental health here was a massive help. And I wanted to pick up what you said. After a while, it becomes addictive to go. And I think it really does. When you start going there every week and you start sort of, I don't know, I'm going to get emotional a bit talking about it now, but it does get to that point where you feel so safe there now. And I never thought that when I'd forced go. Like you said, it'd be like, oh, well, this is not for me. I'm not going to sit there and pour out what I'm going to say. But that first time I went, I just burst. Yeah. Like, it was like a balloon just all really sort of like pulled out of me. And I think that's important for men to hear. It's not this weird, culty place. It is just a real place for you to talk to other similar men and be able to be really, really open with each other, and then just sort of flourish in life, because it isn't going to go away and you're going to have to keep working on it, but it is such a good way to work on it.
It's an outlet. It's a way of sort of pressure releasing. You know, there's times where I think everybody goes through in life at some point where you just feel like you're full, your head's absolutely battered with everything, and you know we're coming to the end of your dead
yeah.
and you just sat there going, you know, I've got this much stuff to do and another 10,000 words to write on whatever it is. But yeah, you can feel sometimes that you're just over full of everything, and then something comes in which is tiny and you just haven't got the space to deal with it, you haven't got the energy to deal with it, and you're just like, and you do, you pop, you just some people pop and they let it out, some people bottle it up, some people let it build up. But Andy's Man Club is just a great way of taking some of that, getting it out there, dumping it in with us lads, leaving it there, and then going back into the real world, just your cup a little bit emptier, if you want to say that, and ready for you to fill it up again a little bit more throughout the week, so that when that small thing does come through, you know what, you've got the mental capacity to deal with it. But yeah, it does, it comes massively addictive, because you just get to a point, it is a massive dopamine rush as well, because you offload, you feel a little bit better, you walk out that door, then you know whatever happens between now and the next session or the next counselling, that you just, it's okay, I've just got to get through it, and then I can offload it again, and then you offload and you feel great and it just carries on. But I think that's why so many lads keep coming back every single week. You know, there's no force, there's no sign up, they just do it out because they want to. But I think that's probably one of the main reasons, is that it's that safe space to just battle it out, I think.
Yeah.
Dump it.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah.
How many people do you sort of see every week in sort of each man club session? Obviously there's so many around the country now, including like multiple in some areas.
Yeah, I mean, it varies massively depending on where it is.
Yeah.
Across the board, we've just we've just hit a big milestone for ourselves, actually. So we've hit the 4,500 mark each week. So I think this week we had 4,520 odd, but it's a lot of guys to walk through the door. And sometimes that's like Leeds, for example. They get 100 and something odd guys through that door, but that's split over, you know, multiple little groups. Some are smaller, but either way, it doesn't matter which club or how many guys are out. It's exactly the same. The format's the same. How it works the same. The questions are the same, etc. So, I know I've walked into loads of clubs and it's always exactly the same, which is great.
Yeah, that's
apart from the dialect. You know what I mean? You got the Scotland, and you sort of sat there going, "These just say like, you know, slow that down a bit." But yeah.
And sort of, you mentioned your journey now into your role setting up a club. So your role is sort of senior project development champion. What does that fully entail? That's quite a mouthful.
It is. We've just changed it actually because we hated that name. The project development. It's no longer a project. It's built. It's done. So we've sort of changed that off there from that. It made more sense when we only had sort of 20 clubs. With 180 odd now, it's like, actually, we know we're building a project. It's kind of done, isn't it? So, but the campaign's still there. We still want to open more. So we're now area leads and regional area lead. But for an area lead is essentially a guy who's walked through the door who now works for Andy's Man Club. You know, we facilitated, we ran clubs ourselves. We get it. We know what it's like. But we use that passion to keep reaching more people. So whether that's, you know, standing on a door and shouting about it, or whether it's handing out leaflets or getting to go to some of the posh events and do stuff like Emmerdale and Radio 1 and all these other wonderful things that you get to do, because some of them are cool, I must admit. it's all about trying to build that network and ultimately just reach more men, get to more men through the door. So an area lead is that, and a regional area lead just means I look after more lads. more work, bigger area to look after.
And sort of, I've also read about like the heroes and facilitators of what you've got. So what sort of does that involve? Is that sort of going through the stages? And
I probably can't underestimate these lads enough, because, you know, we refer to them as heroes, but they're the lads that open those doors every week. So, you know, as an organisation, we're pretty small in regards to paid staff in the area that we look after. But the lads who open these doors, you know, just like I did when I was a facilitator, they're holding down full-time jobs and they're dealing with their own stuff, but they're in a good enough position to be like, I want to help someone, I want to do something more. So these guys volunteer. All we ask of them really is that they open the doors on a Monday night and put the kettle on, but they'll go out there and they'll do so much more because they are proud of it. You know, they're proud of getting the guys through the door, they're proud of where they've come, they're proud of the mates who attend. So, you know, these are lads out there shouting about it at, you know, festivals and events and just anything and everything that they can get out to. They are pretty cheeky, you know, they will get everywhere, you know. But it's just perfect. It's what they want. So they are truly, genuinely heroes. And some of these lads have gone through some horrendous stuff in their lives, you know, and I've got utmost respect and pride for what they do. And like I say, my job is just to make sure that they're all right. You know, just keep them going. If they need something, I'll get you it. If they're having a bit of a wobble, do you know what? I'll go and have a coffee with them and see if we can do something. But yeah, they are absolute heroes around the country. And it's not just the lads. So it's their wives and their families and their employers. And because if you can help a guy, you help everybody around him. One of the things, the side effects of bad mental health and depression is we become quite inward and we start feeling like it's all our problem. We're thinking, but everybody around us struggles. Everyone around us feels the effect of it as well. So, you know, whether it's your mum who's stressing about you because you're having a wobble, or whether it's your wife or your family and stuff, or your work colleagues. So if you can help that guy, you can improve everyone's life. So it's all these people that come together as well. You know, like wives and stuff are like, what can we do? Can we do fundraisers? Can we shout about it? I'm like, yes, let's get it done. You know, let's get out there and do what we can. So it builds a massive community, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, a group of people that all care, which is the best bit.
Do you have any upcoming events that people will be able to go to? Do you know of?
So as Andy's Man Club, strangely enough, we very we very rarely put any of our own events on, so we never do anything Andy's Man Club. But there's hundreds and hundreds of stuff out there going on in the next couple of months, which is what people are doing in aid of Andy's Man Club, that want to, you know, scream and shout about it, or fundraise, or raise awareness, etc. for us. So the best advice is probably just search Andy's Man Club on Facebook. It's pretty much everywhere, and if there's something going on in your area, it will come up. Lincoln area, I'm trying to break out. Lincolnshire's been a hard one for me to reach out into and break that stigma, because I don't know, there's probably loads of different reasons which I'm not going to get into because I'm no expert, but the I think with it being so rural as a county, it's just created an absolute nightmare for us. So and a big farming industry, you know, those guys are quite stubborn, you know, when it comes to dealing with mental health, and that's led on to you know, us children of these guys and the grandkids and people else. So it's just generational stubbornness, isn't it?
I think it's quite similar in like Norfolk, where I'm from.
So another area that I look after, I'm trying to look at branch out in into Norfolk at the minute. And
That's fantastic. Yeah, we're both from that very similar area.
It's simple little things like. So one of them is the Norfolk show. They've invited us along.
That's fantastic.
Again, through someone who sadly has lost somebody to suicide, but they were like, we want to try and change something, we want to try and do something, can we invite you along? And we're like, yes, let's get over it. The Norfolk show is something we're doing, as well as I'm trying to get into the Lincolnshire show as well. It's a bit more difficult, but we're trying to get into it. But it's loads of little things like the Norfolk show which can make so much difference to people's lives, because it gives them an option to find out. It then sparks interest, it breaks down the stigma, it engages conversation, you start getting people inquiring, you know, I've got a venue here at this place, you can use this, great, let's make headway. Then you find guys who want to come along and help run it, and you like, it all starts building from these little things. So watch this space. Norfolk's gonna absolutely kick off at one point. It just takes that first spark, that ignition, and then it just goes crazy. So.
Yeah, people are stubborn, aren't
they? Yeah. There's a lot of water and a lot of fields, and you can't shout that hard for a lot, can you?
Yeah. No, can't go that far.
No, but we'll get there eventually with it all. It just takes time, doesn't it?
So you mentioned in these events and sort of what other people can do to support them, like wives, girlfriends, parents, etc. Is that sort of what you want? You just want, like, the support is just people shouting out?
Yeah, it takes... something like this, not just Andy's Man Club, because Andy's Man Club is just a catalyst. It's something that we're using to try and help that conversation. But ultimately, our goal is to break the stigma across the country with guys. Not just guys, but their kids and everyone else as a byproduct of it. And the best thing we can do is I think two things, and I advise everybody of this. When they ask, you know, what can we do or how can we help, or etc., is firstly, raise awareness, you know. Use Andy's Man Club, fine. You know, use it and abuse it. If that's the thing that we need to do to raise awareness, go ahead. It's no problem. But raise awareness of it, whether it's us, whether it's somebody else. And then second to that, lead by example, because you'll tend to find, and you might find this yourself with you being so open, that once you become open, so many people come with you.
Yeah.
Like before it, like in my friend circle, nobody talked about it until I started talking about it. And then all of a sudden these 6'4" lads are all, you know, sat having a waffle to me about what's going on in their life, and I'm like, it's just little Sean here, what's going on? Like, these are big lads. It just takes one of you to lead by example, and whether that's you burdening them with something so they feel better about burdening you, less guilty, or opening up sometimes about what you might be struggling with, because again, it's not always about being suicidal, it's not always about being depressed. Sometimes it can just be, actually, I'm really overwhelmed with this coursework, or I'm really overwhelmed with this, and I'm looking at the numbers and the words and everything, it just don't make any sense. You know, and being open, having someone else be open about that with you, and you share it, don't you? It's like, the thing is, British people are really good at it, because as soon as one person moans about the weather, everybody moans about the weather.
queues,
tea, you know, whether or not it's there's topics that we all can talk about really, really well. It just takes somebody to spark it.
Yeah, that's what I find. If I speak to my friends about mental health or anything, they'll immediately, everyone just wants to talk. Everyone just wants to have a chat. They want to take. I give them something. They want to give something back, yeah. And it just rolls and rolls. And
they never want an answer from you, though, do they?
No.
They never want you to solve their problem. I think this is key, and this is why it's so scary. We're often worried about. You know, we want to help people. We want to be there for them, but we're worried about like, I'm not going to know the answer. Like, no. What if they tell me something really, really horrific and deep? Like, how am I supposed to deal with that? You don't have to deal with it. No. You just got to listen. And you'll probably find out yourself, you know, these people are telling you stuff and your answer is nice one,
yeah.
thanks for telling me, you know, and that's it. It's exactly the same as Andy's Man Club, you know, it's no one's there to give you the answers because none of us are experts.
No.
It's just listening, isn't it? Which is massive, so but yeah, it is powerful,
but yeah, absolutely. Would you be able to talk about some of the events you've done in person? Like you've mentioned the Emmerdale one. I'm quite intrigued, I'll be honest.
Results, yeah. So I mean, I wasn't fortunate. I was gutted to go and do Emmerdale. But do you know what? That sparked again from something really, really simple. So Emmerdale did a 6-month storyline on with Paddy.
Yeah.
About his suicide, his depression, and trying to take his own life and stuff like that. After I didn't know much about Emmerdale until we did it, and now I know loads. But you know, when he broke up with Chaz, was it Chaz?
Yeah. Chaz Dingle,
and he slept with the other one, and it was all complicated, wasn't it? But yeah, so that started from a couple of our lads, a couple of the facilitators who run the group over in sort of West Yorkshire area, were just doing a stand outside in the town centre, just trying to raise awareness. They had some leaflets, they had some bits. They had someone come and talk to him about Andy's Man Club. I told him about it, bleated on about it, shouted about it with loads of pride. A couple of weeks later we got an email into head office, and it was from one of the screenwriters for Emmerdale, who's like, I've seen two of your lads, I've spoken to them, I really love what you do, it's dead simple, it's not rocket science, but it seems really effective, we'd love to do a complete storyline with you guys and get you involved.
Wow.
So he was like, of course, thinking that we would just sort of have a bit of an influence on the storyline. It turned out that they actually wanted to put Andy's Man Club in Emmerdale, so the whole scenes where it sort of it brought a sort of light to what Andy's Man Club is and the stigma, and just from, you know, something as simple as Emmerdale, which to be honest not a lot of blokes watch, you know, it's a lot of women, but we have so many people turn up and open up because of that, you know, and even the guy who plays Paddy was like, actually this has been a really powerful sort of experience, like I never got, because you know, he came to an Andy's Man Club to get a feel for it, understand it, and yeah, they stuck us in there a couple of episodes, and the whole scenes where they're having the lock-in in the pub was to sort of the same as Andy's Man Club. It was you know, stick them in a room together, yeah. and off you go. So you know, things like that have been extremely powerful for the message, not just Andy's Man Club, but yeah, you know, getting it out there, which is great. And then other things that we've been involved in, it's an absolute whirlwind, I'll be honest, because there is so much that goes on from little things like being able to stand in front of, you know, 400 or 500 people and in a construction yard, you know, or a rail industry where you've got all the lads and all the men there who are a tough audience because they're just, you know, they want to say a lot of rude things and take the mickey out of each other and stuff, don't they? But do you know what, as soon as you, to have the privilege to stand in front of them and talk about Andy's Man Club and, you know, share your story, and then have, you know, a few hundred of them afterwards coming up and going, nice one, mate, you know what I mean, and shaking your hand is huge. But yeah, as an organisation we've been lucky, we've had involvement with, you know, Robbie Williams has just done a shout out about us, yeah, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And
was that in his Netflix documentary?
That was Ryan Reynolds. So Ryan Reynolds, his name, Ryan Reynolds, did that Wrexham Welcome to Wrexham thing. So in the second one we actually got a club in Wrexham FC, so obviously he learned about it, then he shouted out about it on that documentary, as well as doing a couple of things for us publicly, which was, you know, we'd never asked for, which was great, which was brilliant. And then Robbie Williams, that was actually kind of poignant. So that was only a couple of weeks ago, that was on the anniversary of Andy's death, which was quite sad. And then all of a sudden we got a message, you know, you've been tagged in a message, and we looked and it was from Robbie Williams, saying, look, I've seen what you do, it's amazing, it's powerful, well done, sorry for your loss and all the rest of it. And it was just on that day, it was massive, do you know what I mean, to have that sort of recognition and come back from someone like that. But yeah, everything that happens always seems to reach somebody in some way, so Trans-Pennine Express. They wrapped a train for us with the Storm logo and stuff, and that was just... Do you know what? That was an absolutely brilliant example of how attitudes need to change.
Yeah.
Rail industry and the railroads are massive for suicides, aren't they? It's, you can't get out of it. You can't get away from it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It happens. And instead of trying to shy away from it and sort of brush it to the side and try and deny it happens, they were like, clearly that's not working. So let's do something else. Let's just embrace it. Like, and what can we do about it? So they just really jumped on board with it and brought a lot of attention to the railroads, but in a positive way.
Yeah.
And you know, it's too early to see any stats behind it. We don't need to, because we've already heard people walking through the door going, "Saw your train, mate." You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like brilliant. You know what I mean? It's getting the word out there. So, but no, events, all sorts. I love the little things. You know, like the Norfolk Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and being standing there and talking to people, and
that's personal.
It is
as well.
It's listening to people's stories, because again, people just come up to you and just want to tell you, and sometimes that can be massive, because they'll come up to you, and I mean, I've had people walk up to me in Asda's and start roaring, and I'm like, I don't even know who you are, and they're like, oh, you helped my son, and I'm like, he helped himself, like, yeah, this is crazy. And my kids are sort of looking at me going, Dad, what the hell's going on? And I'm like, sorry. But it's great, you know, there's a lot of passion and a lot of love, and festivals are always fun as well. We're doing Leeds Fest this year, which is great.
Wow, that's going to be huge.
To be fair though, we did one not far from here in Newark, Stonedead Festival. Wow, that was perfect, because it was your bikers, your metalheads, your absolute
audience,
you know, what people consider like absolute nutters, and these are like massive lads coming up, and all of a sudden they're talking to me about, oh yeah, you know, 15 years ago I had this, and you know, I struggled with it, and how it was just an extremely powerful weekend to see some of these. Don't get me wrong, some of them had a few beers, but if that's what was needed to open up, then great. But yeah, it was, you know, we've been invited along every year for that now indefinitely. And
that's lovely.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's fun. It is fun. It's chaos. There's nothing more chaotic than a load of bikers, but yeah, it's good fun, because they're all the people that we think don't speak. Yeah. So, yeah, it's great.
I think going back to the work you did with Wrexham, how important is doing like sort of sports stuff as well for men? Because that can be such a, I don't know, such an easy way to get them out initially, to be able to get into contact with other men and then have the flow of conversation come from there.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like football and rugby and all the rest of it, it's still mainly a male demographic, isn't it? It's still, you know, predominantly men, and you know, there is a lot of people who support football, there's a lot of people who play rugby and motorsports and stuff, and it's a no-brainer to work with these people to try and reach blokes. You know, we have had a lot of love from the football industry, and Man City have just signed us of Charity of the Year, which is another really brilliant thing. So that's, you know, they've got nothing to gain out of it.
No.
Well, they have. They're going to get some love out of it, but there's nothing financially for them to gain. It's just purely people going, actually, yeah, we care. We want to do something. And the effect that that's had is, you know, Man United fans are great about it, because it's a rival, isn't it, Man City, Man U? But it's just reaching so much more people. But we have football, sports, you know, running. You know, all these other things that they're out there are outlets that a lot of men turn to. You know, for, you know, they have that weekly routine of going and playing the, you know, the Sunday league or footy or playing pool and stuff. And sometimes it can be around that pool table or on that pitch or in that locker room where you have some of the most deepest conversations. And if you can sort of encourage that and enable it, then it's going to be even more, you know, even more things. But it's always good for the exercise as well. It is a great, it is great for mental health. As much as I'm no runner, do you know what I mean? I'm not built for speed, but you know, I do appreciate a good walk in, you know, down the seafront is good for you when you need it. So
I think it seems like everywhere is just respect for what you do. Although it's, you'd say there's the stigma around it potentially, it seems like everyone is just there to respect what you do. Well, even these bigger platforms.
I think. It affects so many people in the UK. You know, it is the biggest killer of men under the age of 54. 3 out of 4 suicides are men. There isn't been many people that I've not met and spoken to that haven't been affected either directly or indirectly by suicide. You know, when you actually bring up the topic, there's usually someone going, I've lost an uncle, or I lost a friend, or I lost somebody, or it's, yeah, I know somebody that's took their own life. But it's a conversation that nobody has. I mean, nobody talks about it, because it's such a taboo. And so I think the respect, if there is respect there, and I think it's just more because so many people have been affected by it and understand it, and like I say, either that or all have had bad mental health at some point, that they all get it. And I think it's just because we're the voice that turn around and say the word suicide, you know what I mean, without having to be ashamed of it, and we're quite open about what we've done and how it's happened and stuff like that, that people like that, people resonate with it, people sort of empathise with it and understand it. So, you know, going back to that saying, once you share your story, everybody comes out the woodwork, yeah, and wants to do the same. So,
I lost someone to suicide in December 22, and it was just completely out of the blue.
Yeah. I mean, getting on to the serious stuff behind it, I think one of the saddest things of what we do is we do have a lot of people talk to us about losing people. Sometimes it's quite heavy, you know, it's hard to listen to, and it's difficult because, you know, I was that donut that tried to do it. I could have been that for my parents, and so that's upsetting. But, you know, listening to people, the two things I always tend to hear, or two emotions that seem to echo all the time are guilt and anger. It's always guilt, yeah, and anger. It's, yes, always, you know, the questions that I get asked, and I'll be honest, I've never got the answers, because the only person that can answer it is the one that you know, sadly took their life, that went to that point. But, you know, and it's stuff like, oh, he's been texting me for a couple of weeks to go for a pint. If I'd have just done that, do you think he'd still be here? And it's like, I don't know, mate. Like, I can't answer that for you. No. Or he's been putting Chester Bennington lyrics on Facebook for the last 6 months. Was that him crying for help? Maybe, maybe not. Like, it doesn't mean that was the case, you know, and there's no definitive answer. And that's, I think that's the hard part, because there's no coroner report that's going to give you the answer that tells you why they did it. Do you know what I mean? It's bonkers. No, you'll never know. And then there's anger. So many people, and it's natural, so many people get angry because they're like, why didn't they reach out? Why have they left their friends behind? Why have they left the kids behind, and this and that? And then we feel bad again because we just thought bad about that person, and we start beating ourselves up. And it's something I hear all the time. I do see it now as a privilege to be that person that people will turn to sometimes to talk to, some of these families, when they do reach out. You know, I found it difficult in the beginning, but now it's like, wow, do you know what I mean? That's a lot of love and respect that they've got to reach out to someone like me, who's an idiot from Grimsby, who used to fix cars and now wants to talk about the effect of losing their husband after 30 years. You know, it's quite deep. But yeah, it's the same two emotions you hear over and over again. And it's that mainly that we're trying to stop. You know, it's Luke and Elaine felt that. And it was what they wanted to try and prevent moving forward, was families, friends, loved ones from you know, feeling what you felt, and what so many others have felt, is that absolute devastation of someone taking their own life, especially when it's out of the blue, which the majority of the time it is.
It's soul destroying. It just niched completely out of the blue.
It's confusing. It's like, where's that happened? Like, what's going on? So, but yeah, it can be. And I've lost people to suicide. I've lost a friend to suicide, even doing this job. So, and it was tough for me to be sat there, even as much knowledge as I've got, and much understanding I've got, I still went through that same stage of guilt and anger, and like, oh, I work for a mental health charity, like, how did I not know and stuff? But we become the best actors in the world. There's some sad examples. Robin Williams, for example, you know, he was the most happiest go lucky person in the world, but he took his life. Chester Bennington was a great example as well, who took his life. And you know, people will always say, like, oh, these guys are the life and soul of the party, or this person was fine, they seem to be doing well, they just signed this, they just got a car, new job, started a college course, whatever. And I think what it proves is that mental health doesn't care who you are, what you've got and stuff. It can affect all of us at any point,
and it is invisible.
Yeah, without swearing, it's a nasty person. So it can get any of us at any point. That's why I think breaking that stigma is so important. Because if you break it now, when somebody does get to that point, it's going to be easier for them to talk rather than turn to taking their own life, which is sad.
Yeah, I think then it's just sort of, what sort of advice can you give? Is it just sort of sharing the fact that you understand what they're going through? Is that one of the nicest things, I think?
Yeah, best advice I can give anybody is talk. Whether you're going through that point in your life or not. You know, if it's someone you feel might need a bit of help, talk to them. You know, show by example. You know, try and the hardest thing when someone's going through the worst part of their life is the feeling of alone, feeling like they're at the nobody understands, that they're struggling, that they can't reach out and stuff like that. So sometimes just burdening that person with your problems,
yeah,
which sounds really counterproductive, can actually be massive. You know, turning around to that person who you know is going through the worst time of their life and saying, you got 5 minutes, because I need to talk to you about something, I've got some problems. Because do you know what, he's going to know so well about how to express that to you to fix it, that it's going to help him as well, and then he's going to feel better about burdening you. You know, it sort of takes that edge off for him. And lead by example and try and just talk to people. And when you are good, when you are bad, make it normal, and don't be scared to say the word suicide. It's not we're not going to blow up if we say it. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's quite nice. Don't be scared to say those.
Yeah,
that word. Or many, like depression, anxiety, I guess
they've all got stigmas, haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, we used to call it committed suicide. That was the term that was used for so many years. Oh, you know, the committed suicide and stuff like that. But it's a method of death.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, people die from suicide or die by suicide. You know, and so it's okay to say that without it being wrong. You know, you're not going to offend anybody by saying, oh, how did he die? Well, he died by suicide. You do the same if someone dies of cancer or illness or accident. You just say it, don't you? Unfortunately, he died by cancer, or he died by illness and stuff. And same with suicide. You know, let's just not be scared to say the word. Obviously, respectfully.
Yeah.
You know, it is personal to a lot of us. But the more we make it approachable, the more we make it normal, the easier it'll get.
Yeah.
I think that's really nice.
Yeah.
Even just changing that small bit of terminology to make it seem less burdening or feelings of anger and guilt with that phrase, just committed.
Well, committed, it means that it's a criminal offence.
No.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been a criminal offence since the 60s.
No.
So, you know, and it was a religious thing, and it was a religious crime to take your own life, obviously, if anybody knows that, Catholicism. But it's not a crime anymore. It's okay. It's not okay. I mean, don't do it, but it's not a crime to do it. There's no shame in having a family member who has taken their own life, you know what I mean? And the more we talk about it, the better, and the more normal, and the more it helps these people who are struggling, or have lost somebody. And the more you can do to help, the better. There's no negative around it. It's all positive.
Yeah.
It's just mindset.
Yeah, that's really lovely. Yeah. Really nice advice, and it's nice that Andy's Man Club is now gaining so much more traction in the media. It's sort of going up and up and up.
Yeah, quickly. Yeah. It's a lot of work, but yeah.
Which, for your workload, you must be.
Yeah, you know, I love it. I love it. Bring it on.
That seems nice as well. It seems like you are so genuinely so passionate. And that's so nice.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of love. It's a lot of respect. It's just a big old community of you know, misfits of the world coming together to try and fix each other, and that's, you can't get anything more powerful than that, can you? So it's good old British spirit, really.
That's
beautiful. Anything else?
You know, where can they find you online, like social medias, websites, things like that?
Yeah, best places to check us out on the website, which is www.andysmanclub.co.uk. Make sure you spell it right, because it will put you in different places. there is Mandy's Hand Club, that's a completely different place, but On that website, it'll tell you about who we are, what we are, and on the top right, there's a big yellow button that says "Find your nearest club." You click on that, stick your postcode, and it'll tell you where the nearest one is, and it'll show you like the what free words and stuff as well, so you can find the door and bits and bobs, because some of these places are difficult.
Yeah.
But yeah, with 189 locations around the UK, there's a fair few of them now that
you should be able
to reach out. But for the Lincolnites, football stadium, Sinsel Bank, at the Legends Lounge. And all the groups run on a Monday night at 7 o'clock.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
It's been amazing.
Thank you for being so personal as well.
Open up.
I appreciate the opportunity, to be fair. You know, it's got the chance to reach one person.
Yeah.
It might help.
I'll be passing it on.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much.
And you know what? Fingers crossed for the Lincoln Show.
Yeah, we'll see if we get there. I'll be shouting about it. Look out on Facebook because I'll be taking live videos, running around and having a laugh. But yeah, we've got to get out there some way, haven't we?
Yeah. But no, it's fantastic. It's a really good course. Definitely. So it's been really nice to hear about.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.